This is the FM Gold Channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, we now bring you a discussion on General Elections 2019 Overall Analysis. The participants are Shekhar Iyer, Political Analyst, and Neelab Srivastav, Journalist.
Elections to the 17th Lok Sabha in India have concluded. We had seven long phases of the polls in the country. The last phase occurred yesterday. 61 crores of Indians have exercised their franchise in the country. We had about 90 crores voters. The overall voting percentage in all the seven phases is estimated to be around 66 to 67%. This is still being consolidated. Over 8,000 candidates across all the constituencies, 542 have been polled. One constituency in Tamil Nadu, Vellore, the elections were countermanded because of the reports of illegal cash and black money being used. Iyer Sahab, we are now awaiting 23rd May when we'll have the exact results. We also are in the backdrop and in the knowledge of the exit polls in the country that have been conducted. Let us know your estimate as to what will be the course of action now.
The counting will start from May 23rd and it is expected to go on throughout the day, with the Election Commission deciding to verify the VVPATs in at least 5 booths in every constituency. It will be a very protracted exercise, and hopefully by 23rd evening or 23rd night, or at best by 24th morning, we should know the number of seats secured by different parties. Now, once we know the final tally, what happens is the Election Commission sends a report to the President of India saying that it has completed the election process and the new house will be constituted. Accordingly, the President issues the necessary orders for the constitution of the house. And in the meantime, you will see the different parties electing their leaders. And these leaders start calling on the President to make their claims. And the President is mandated by the Constitution to invite the leader of a party or a leader of a combination whom he thinks enjoys the confidence of the House. Now, what has happened, Nilab, in this matter, over a period of time, various presidents have adopted different processes. We have seen the presidents inviting the single largest party. We have seen presidents inviting the first pre-poll alliance, the leader of that. We have also seen a situation where, since these two groups did not command enough numbers, we have seen presidents even calling for a party which have made a post-poll arrangement. Then we have seen situations where all the parties are not participating in government, some are supporting from outside. Now, Sarkaria Commission went into this whole issue, who should be invited, and basically it said the powers of the governor, which is also applicable to the president in the case of formation of the house, it said the presidents in which party should be invited, the leader of the parties. The first preference is always to the party which has secured the maximum number of seats. And second is the group which is a pre-poll alliance group, if it has secured the maximum. Then comes the others, one which is formed after the elections, and fourth. Now, this order of precedence was set by the Sarkar's Commission, and in a judgment in 2015, Supreme Court endorsed it. Now, why I am saying all this is because right now, with the completion of the seven phases, we are seeing opposition leaders are all very active. We are seeing Chandrababu Naidu meeting different opposition leaders. He has met Rahul Gandhi, he has met Mayawati ji, he has met Mamata Banerjee, Sharad Pawar, Akhilesh Yadav ji. Flurry of activities are already started, when there are at least another 3-4 days left for actual counting. Now, we will have to keep this in mind, because this will determine the next course of action. This election has been one of the very intense election, and obviously a long election. It started from April 11 and ended on May 19. Leaders of various parties, including the Prime Minister, Congress President Rahul Gandhi, they have crisscrossed, and the Prime Minister himself has addressed more than 160 meetings. I think the figures for Rahul Gandhi will also be more or less similar. Voters have cast their ballot. Now it is waiting to be seen what is the decision, what do they want. Are they willing to give a second term for Prime Minister Modi, or they want to look for some other option? We will see.
If we have a situation where a number of coalition partners or the parties may have to cobble up numbers, if they do not have so much of them, we'll essentially know that there are two coalition teams on the either side. One is the National Democratic Alliance, which is led by the Bharatiya Janata Party. The other is the UPA, the United Progressive Alliance, led by the Congress Party. And also, we have had the Mahagathbandhan in Uttar Pradesh and Bihar this time. Both these factions of the coalition partners, they have campaigned for each other, they have endorsed their own candidates, but also at the same time, we have seen emergence of a new Mahagathbandhan in Uttar Pradesh, where we saw Samajwadi Party and Bahujan Samaj Party coming together, two ideologically very different parties, and campaigning against not only the Bharatiya Janata Party, because they said that their main opponent is BJP, but also the Congress on the other side. So in such a scenario, when you have so many parties cobbling together, if the numbers and the mandate is fractured, So how does the entire gamut of activities take place then?
We are already seeing Chandrababu Naidu has undertaken one exercise. Prior to that, we saw K. Chandrasekhar Rao, the Telangana Chief Minister and who heads the TRS party. He has also been meeting some of these party leaders. So idea is somehow create a kind of a group. And who can elect a leader? Because they have to elect a leader. The invitation from the president is not to a political party. It is always to an individual who is elected by these newly elected members of parliament who say that he is our leader. And the president has to satisfy himself that that person whom he is inviting commands the majority in the house. So it is about the individual. So whether it is the parties who did not have alliance are working out some arrangement post-elections or people who are trying to create a new federal front and getting others' support. These exercises, the president will not take cognizance unless they have a leader and the leader comes saying that these are the MPs who are backing me and I command support in the house. Because that is very clear. So if you are seeing Chandrababu Naidu is very active meeting leaders, essentially to somehow arrive at a consensus, because the consensus process takes time. So therefore you are seeing all these opposition leaders, whether it's Sharad Pawar or Chandrababu Naidu or Rahul Gandhi or Mayawati, they all have to put their heads together. And incidentally, they cannot come to any conclusion till they know each party's tally. Because there will be a lot of bargaining. Who will be the leader? Who will be the deputy leader? Then the question of portfolios. Some arrangement or agreement has to be reached before all the MPs of that group sit and elect a leader. So this is going to be quite a difficult exercise. Now, obviously, as I mentioned, what the Sarkaria Commission had recommended and what the Supreme Court has endorsed, whoever it is has to be, it will follow that precedent. Because if it's the largest party or the largest alliance, that will obviously get a chance. And this time we saw that within the opposition, some parties have contested against each other. You saw in Uttar Pradesh, SP-BSP had a pre-poll alliance, but Congress was not part of the alliance. It had put up candidates against them. Similarly, if you take the case of TRS, you know, Andhra Pradesh, of course, TDP did not put up candidates or anything. But in the assembly elections, we saw there was a coalition of TDP and Congress against TRS, and TRS won the election. At one stage, it will appearing little complex and too confusing. But ultimately, you know, once the results are out, parties get into the act, there are go-in-betweens, there are people who hold parlays, and finally, I think without loss of much time, they come to some kind of a conclusion as they have to take their case before the President of India.
It is said that the past holds the future. Now, if we talk about the campaigning of the seven phases, where on one side, the NDA and the BJP, led by Prime Minister Modi, they had an campaign which was hinging largely on the issues of nationalism, on what the government has done in the 5 years by way of their special schemes. And on the other side, it was the Congress which was giving an alternative, an anti-incumbency thing, where they said they were also talking about the Nyaya, the Nyuntam Ayojana, minimum income scheme that they had floated, and also about different things that they said about that the institutions that were under threat and what the Congress government would do. So how do you see the campaign, your analysis of the seven phases of this election, sir?
When the campaign started, we saw that BJP putting its foot forward, saying that our campaign is for a second term for Prime Minister Modi. And that is how the campaign began, and saying that this is what we have done in the last 5 years. These are the things that we want to take forward. These are the things we want to do. And in fact, BJP manifesto even came up with 75 areas where they want concrete results at a time when India is completing 75 years of its independence in the year 2022. Now, this was on the BJP side. On the Congress side, we saw, in fact, other opposition parties also mainly questioned the record of Prime Minister Modi and trying to puncture holes in the claims made by the Modi government as to what it has achieved. They said, no, this is not your achievement. They raised the issue of unemployment, the farmers' distress. Now, along with that, there was another controversy which played throughout. That was the controversy over purchase of fighter aircraft from Rafale under a government-to-government agreement between India and France. That was an issue throughout. It went to the Supreme Court. And we also saw a situation where the Congress President Rahul Gandhi went to the Supreme Court and apologized for a particular slogan which erroneously he had claimed it had been endorsed by Supreme Court. So these were the issues that played out. That of course Congress thought it had come with a game changer in the name of Nyaya, a new scheme which will ensure at least 25 crore families are paid yearly, you know, kind of compensation amount of 72,000. Now this was again a very bold, ambitious plan. So all these things got talked about and it was an intense campaign. But apart from what the parties suggested through their manifestos, the large part of it was rather personalized campaign where there were personal attacks often they had to rush to the election commission. And another dimension, I think, which took all of us by surprise was when election was by and large peaceful in all parts of the country. In one particular state, we were witness to violence right from the first phase till the seventh phase. That was West Bengal. And despite elections to only 42 parliamentary seats being held in seven phases, every phase saw attacks on candidates, attempt to capture the booth, even attacks on central forces. So this was one of the most disturbing aspect of this election, and election commission had to intervene, and it was the most talked about thing, I must say.
A record number of central paramilitary forces.
And at one time it was suggested even that the number of armed forces personnel in Bengal is almost what is deployed in disturbed parts like Jammu and Kashmir. These were some of the something that made people wonder as to why this is happening, particularly in Bengal. Then there were a lot of explanation and theories that this has been going on for some time. People even recalled what had happened during the Panchayat elections, where the matter had even come up to the Supreme Court. So these were various dimensions. And the other interesting aspect of this election, I would say two things which are worth noting is, one is the entry of Priyanka Gandhi Vadra. She took a formal role. She was appointed General Secretary.
As a politician in the electoral politics.
She did extensive campaign. She brought in a lot of enthusiasm for the Congress Party workers. The second thing, Dilip, what happened in Bihar. With Lalu Prasad Yadav in jail, his son, particularly Tejaswi Yadav, had to take the full responsibility as a head of an alliance, because it was alliance under RJD. Perhaps he got guidance from Lalu, maybe from jail, but overall, his task was to enter into negotiations with all the parties in the Gathbandhan, including the Congress, and somehow finally come out with some kind of a formula. I think this election has seen emergence of Tejaswi Yadav as an emerging leader. On the other hand, we saw Priyanka Gandhi.
Yesterday after 6:30, we had so many exit polls coming in. This is a science in itself, cephalology as we call it. A number of agencies who do this exercise, they say that the NDA combine led by the BJP has an edge over the UPA combine led by the Congress. There are different figures to suggest, but you have seen elections in the country for decades and from various parts of the country. Are these pollsters or all these claims or all this science of predicting the voters' behavior in advance, is this reliable, is this not?
Exit polls are basically where people are sent out to interview the voters who have just gone and cast the vote and come out, to ask them to whom they have voted. This is basically exit poll. That is a poll done after they exited from the polling booth to find out whom they voted.
And this is as compared to the opinion poll.
Opinion poll is, you know, before the election.
Before the
you
election.
Go around asking by what is the mood, what are the issues, whom do you favor. But in this case, it's a very specific question. Aapne kisko vote diya? Now, this is a question, how the voter is going to respond. Is he going to tell you the truth? Is he going to be unscared to reveal his mind?
Even sample size is a question.
Sample size is a question. And then the voter's behavior in this aspect or response to such questions will vary from city to city and in from state to state and rural area and urban areas.
Right.
Because in rural areas, the tendency is to be a lot more secretive about your decisions because you fear some kind of a response or reaction or even reprisal. This is an element which is there. But then there are occasions when exit polls have gone horribly wrong. But also there are occasions where exit polls have come closer to indication. Now, as far as the polls which we have seen yesterday, by and large, there is a direction to which these polls are indicating. Now, that go with the kind of the crowds that Prime Minister Modi has been attracting throughout the campaign. Yes, some of the meetings of Rahul was crowded. Priyanka's was also had good reception in pockets. But because the whole issue finally boiled down to in this election, should Prime Minister Modi get a second term or not? If not Prime Minister Modi, then which other party should be chosen? Now, this was the basic question. And who is going to answer to some of the basic issues that are still afflicting us as a nation? So, how the voter responded, as it is said, we will have to take exit polls, if not with a spoon of salt, at least a pinch of salt.
The last word is obviously the people's verdict that will come on May 23rd. And we expect that whosoever is the mandate with gets to make very stable government in the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on General Elections 2019 Overall Analysis. The participants were Shekhar Iyer, Political Analyst, and Neelab Srivastav, Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.